in perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct, right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Walcott.
A fight kick is in the time.
He gets inside, well inside.
In any weather you can see us with your grin. Listening head and skin, you're not really behind the chair.
Oh, Cotchin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And this is a not quite emergency, possibly emergency VFL / Dustin Martin podcast.
Exactly. It's something slightly less. It's an important situation, but not quite an emergency podcast.
No, we would have done an emergency Dusty one had schedules permitted. But and yesterday afternoon, I was pretty stressed following the VFL, so it's nice to be able to wrap the two up together, I think.
So, Nick, guess what I've done three times this weekend?
Well, it's only three times, so thought obsessively about Richmond can't be it.
No. I'll put you out of your misery. So, yep. My kids know who Dusty Martin is. For the viewers, my kids are 5 and 7 years old, so they're not fully conscious. You know, you can still pick and choose which players they like. And they picked up Jack Ringwell, who my daughter, bless her, thinks looks like me.
Actually, really?
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
My kids get birthday cards from Jack Riewoldt, so they think Jack Riewoldt knows them.
And that they know and love Trent Cotchin, and that's been the product of deliberate propaganda effort on my behalf. And also, Trent has met my daughter and signed the back of her jersey.
Yep.
But
winning
Dusty, I've introduced them to him, shown them, but never fully indoctrinated them because I didn't quite trust that he was going to be there, to be honest. And so when the club, not only did he re-sign and the club did release that excellent 2-minute highlight video of Dusty stiff-arming and kicking goals, which is just magnificent.
Or even the occasional tackle.
Actually, if you look at the pictures of the Richmond rooms at the MCG, there's one of the big pictures of Dusty doing a beautiful tackle where he's pinned the arm. Anyway, so I've been showing the kids highlight videos of Dusty all weekend to increase the bond, because finally I know he's a Tiger for life and I can actually do that. Like before I was hedging, but I've just moved into the most valuable, important thing in my life. I've moved all the chips onto Dusty.
Yep. So Dusty is now under contract to play for the Richmond Football Club for 15 years in total. That's quite a thing.
It is. Now, Nick, there were moments, I had dark moments during the Dusty saga. Probably.
And there were many, many, many moments in the Dusty saga.
There were, and it was ugly, and it was unfortunate, and I don't think it's in the best interest of this. All these nice things being said about Ralph Carr, I think he destroys his client's brand by doing things like this. But we digress. You know, when Dusty, who's part of his agenda is to get his father permission to come back to Australia more often, and then whoever okayed for Dusty to walk through Melbourne Airport with two hired goons, like, that's not Dusty's fault. That is why you hire a manager, to say, mate, this looks bad on TV cameras. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
Because in the media, the singer celebrity world, that seems like a good image.
Yeah. Just because Rhiannon would do it doesn't mean Dusty should.
Exactly. And, you know, because he's a 26-year-old man and one of the most impressive physical specimens alive, he can get through an airport by himself.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was a dark moment. And so I spent a long time, Nick, trying to rationalize. And, you know, we all follow American sports, so we know how free agency, and we know there's a thing called winner's clause in free agency, that if you pay the most, you win the free agency battle. You've probably overpaid because, you know, you've got the top of the market and, you know, Dusty is having by far his best season. Are you paying for this season for the next 7 years? Which obviously he won't be able to match because, you know, this is superhuman. No one can pay this level.
Well, you know, they say he's going to break the votes record for the Brownlow. It's a good year.
So, Nick, I spent a long, long time trying to work on the counterfactual argument about why it's not the end of the world if Dusty leaves. And you know what, Nick?
Yeah,
it was a crap argument.
I did quite a bit of this as well. And yeah, it was the second best option.
It absolutely was. It is definitively the best thing for the Richmond Football Club that Dusty stayed at about the numbers he stayed. Now, you could have argued at best it was 60-40. I think I could have argued that had he left. But it is absolutely no doubt in my mind that it is better for us that he stayed, even despite the large cost. And you and I both know that there is a large cost to this big contract. Mm. But even your most nerdy, snarky, salary cap is the end of the world person, I don't think could genuinely argue that it was bad for us to re-sign Dusty.
No, and when you sort of calibrate figures for the increase in the salary cap as well, like it's not, so we've signed him around $1.2 million is the word. That's, you know, adjusting for the salary cap, that's the same amount of money that Tom Scully got from GWS 7 years ago. So that is quite a bit of money, but it's just slightly better than Tom Boyd money. So that's reasonable. You can build around that. It does mean we can forget about Tom Lynch and that type of free agent, certainly for a couple of years while we've still got this highly paid core together. But yeah, the alternative. Yeah, look, the alternatives was relying on Josh Kelly to come, and you've got to trade for Josh Kelly, which means
exactly
multiple first round draft picks, and possibly then some. Or you're sort of, you know, do you save the money for Tom Lynch next year?
It's the same deal though.
You've got to overpay Tom Lynch, who was injured and wasn't as good as he has been this year. Like, yeah, it's always hard.
Your assets are your draft picks and your salary cap. They're a combination, and you can trade one for the other. And yes, we have lost quite a bit of our salary cap, but you know, we've got hardly anything back for Dusty. The Geelong deal was not on the table because the reason Geelong had to trade for Dangerfield was because Adelaide could match the salary.
It was great. It was credible they could match. Yep.
Yeah, we would not have been able to. If we'd said no, that would have been it. So we would have got the end of the first round draft pick in a mediocre draft. It just would not have given us the leverage. We would have had to be either looking after a free agent like North Melbourne is, and surprise, surprise, not landing anyone, or paying 2 to 3 first rounders to get someone on the same salary as Dusty who might not necessarily be as good. There is no guarantee that Josh Kelly's best will be as good as Dusty.
No. No, all that he's like, you sort of, you know, there's risk with everything. There's risk with getting out of bed. But Dusty's missed 4 games across his total career. He's missed 2 games in the past 4 years. You know, he's incredibly durable. He's a power speed athlete. Like, he is an ideal combination to age well, notwithstanding that, you know, Everyone ages badly past a certain point, but he's a pretty good bet for, I would think, at least the first 5 years of this deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the 7th year might be a bit ugly, but
it's unclear, but there's possibly not all of the 7th year is fully guaranteed.
And you know what? It is sort of, while AFL lives in the dark ages, like they're still all amateur athletes and doesn't release their contracts, there's no way to properly analyse this like we would be in. It's amazing in other sports how the headline figures, which is all we get, once the proper contract is released, it turns out in NBA and NFL that...
Oh, no. In NBA, the amount they announce is the amount they get paid. They get fully guaranteed contracts. It's the NFL that has all the funny money.
Yeah, but 7 years, like the profile is important. And apparently that was the last minute. The last minute renegotiation that happened in the last week with Richmond. So that was the. So
we, all, who knows? We also had the capacity to pay him extra for this year. I understand.
Yes, and I think that was actually crucial at the end of it. We had $500,000 that we could give Dusty straight away, which North Melbourne could not, and not fit underneath the cap.
Yeah, I mean that was cap space that could be rolled over for next year. So it wasn't free money, but it's
And we could have spent it re-signing someone else. So, yeah, it's not free money, but it is something we had that North Melbourne did not.
Yeah. So it's a stretch. Sorry. It's expensive, but it's what you have to pay.
Right? Go back and watch Richmond, which we've both done this weekend. It's all about Dusty. You know, there is... he is the second best player in the AFL behind Dangerfield, who's just ridiculous at the moment, but he leads us in all key stats. You know, his clearance work, you know, you can pick holes in his games, which Nick, I would have had to. If he'd left, I would have talked about his lack of defensive effort at contests and things like that. But, you know, so many games he wins the clearances, so many games he bashes us back into the game.
He's perennially at the list, at the top of the stats list for clangers. But yeah, he's a weapon. He's a genuine match winner.
And he is. So I actually think his ball distribution is slightly overrated, but his inside work is slightly underrated. So, you know, whatever. But look, he's second in the AFL and score involvements behind Buddy, but you know, all the key stats, you look at our team, he's leading, you know, score involvements, clearances, contested possessions, you know, it would have been grim without him. We would have survived. Lots of teams have survived the loss of their best player, but you're in the zone. You've got Alex Rance. You've got the best centre half forward in the league, possibly one of the best of all, one of the best of all time, possibly the best of all time. You're in the zone. You've got a pretty good captain. You know, you had to go for it now because had he left, it was sort of in mini rebuild territory. And we're third. You know, we want to be having a crack at the premiership for a couple of years now.
And Dusty, I tweeted this out, but you know, Dusty brings me more joy than any Richmond player of my lifetime other than Matthew Richardson. And I don't say that lightly.
No, I mean, he's... my favourite moment hasn't actually been on any of the highlights was when he broke Judd's ankles and kicked a goal in the elimination final against Carlton. It was one of the most sort of spectacular single acts because Judd had him cold and he just juked him and went around him. Now, okay,
when he kicked a goal to seal a win against Carlton in the days when we hadn't beaten Carlton for a while, that was one of my favourites. I thought didn't make the package.
Yeah, but the thing is, the Dusty highlights package could be so long.
That's true. In the Swans game, didn't have that one either. They didn't have enough of Dusty isolated one out in the forward line, monstering some poor 6 foot 500 kilo key defender, which is just one of my favourite things.
Nick, it's just occurred to me, the Richmond highlight video, which I previously complimented, didn't have the dusty moment where he kicked the winning goal against Sydney.
Yeah.
I mean, what a stunning oversight. Like, that is one of my favourite all-time moments.
Anyway,
goes to show how hard it is to make a Dusty highlights video. So, look, very exciting. And it's hard to give a definitive analytical conclusion because we don't have the numbers. But Nick, I want to talk about his interview briefly. So, you know, apparently
Can I talk about my traumatic part of the interview?
Go ahead.
So it's very rare that I voluntarily expose myself to Sam Newman, but oh my God, he looks like an alien these days.
Like, yeah, it's just...
A comprehensive argument about why men shouldn't have facelifts.
Yeah, like, the first two facelifts is fine, but, you know, the sort of the four or five, it's obviously been him wearing the T-shirt, you know? He's a rich, successful man. Like, why wouldn't you wear a nice suit? Anyway, getting off the point. But, so, you know, for a high six-figure sum, you can actually get Dusty to, it was probably high five, maybe low six.
50,000 is the figure being touted.
Yeah, 50,000 is the standard for the footy show. I think he got more than that. It's hard to get Dusty on the interview, and that was big news. I like the fact, you know, I don't want to overplay it. And this thing about, I know there's been some skepticism about Dusty took less money. We don't know how much, you know, the 2 million may be fuzzy money, but look at the Benny Gale interview when he talks about the signing and hear the emotion in his voice when he talks about Dusty taking less money. He clearly did. Whether it was $2 million, I don't know. Dusty looked supremely, in his interview in the Footy Show, he was obviously hiding something. I don't know whether that was, gee, I wish I'd taken more money, or whether that was, it wasn't $2 million, whatever it was, who cares. But he talked about the fans. You know, Nick, Dusty never acknowledges the fans. Have you noticed that? Like, when he kicks a goal.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not like Jack. This is not a criticism, it's just how he is, his body language on the pitch. And he talked about, at the St Kilda game, on the 4th minute of the fourth quarter, some guys did a tribute to Dusty, and they started cheering him. And just at that time, Dusty had two incredible highlights, so it sort of killed the cheer because everyone was cheering Dusty's highlights. But the crowd was going nuts for Dusty, and then they stood up and cheered him as he ran off. And he never acknowledged it, but he talked about it on the Footy Show. Mm. And I don't know whether he got told about it afterwards, but then Eddie said, oh, they were cheering for you, Dusty. And he said, yeah, they do that a lot. And I was like, So Dusty's been hearing the crowd cheers all along. It's interesting. Like, you know, he always seems impervious to it, but, you know, the Richmond crowd radiates love for Dustin Martin. We all love watching him play, and you can feel it at the MCG.
I know.
And it's interesting that he never let on before that he picks it up.
I've accepted Dusty for being Dusty for a while now. Like, I was saying over one of our group chats that, you know, one of the reasons why it was good for him to stay at Richmond was that at Richmond, nobody questions why the best or the second best player in the AFL isn't part of the leadership group. That's not who he is. Like, if you take him out of that context and to a club where they need him to be a big fish in a small pond and to be the face of the club and to give people a reason to care about North Melbourne compared to having this rusted on, huge, passionate fan base who love him, but, you know, who, it's a function of their love for the club rather than, you know, the wind whistling through a crowd of 12,000 people down in Hobart in July. Richmond was a better choice.
It would have been terrible for Dusty. I can just imagine in November where they said, right, Dusty, we're doing our annual membership drive where all the players, we sit round and we all call up our uncommitted members to, and Dusty, what the?
Yeah. Dane's booked the flight. Like, we're all sorted.
Anyway, look, so glad. This comes at a heavy cost, and it is not, I don't want to say it's completely black and white, a wonderful thing, but it is definitely, I compared this to one of our group chats on, it's like the Battle of Stalingrad. Mm. You know, it took a lot out of both sides, but there was a definitive winner, and you know which side you wanted to be on at the end of it.
Yeah, that's true. If military history is one of our favourite analogies, then professional wrestling is the other one. But if you know, these days in professional wrestling, they tend to go for heroes with a bit more of shades of grey than in the Hulk Hogan days of old. And I think Dusty would suit that sort of, you know, mixed anti-hero type vibe. But if you're really wanting to put Dusty over this weekend, having him kick a key goal late in the fourth quarter and then give a bit of pumping the jumper above his heart, like, I mean, as if we wouldn't be going crazy anyway, but that would just be the moment.
Yeah, I'm actually getting emotional thinking about, how that would be. Anyway, nice one. Richmond VFL.
Oh, look, It was quite a stressful game, actually. We got it.
I was amazed how into it I was.
Oh, no, me too. The coverage of it was quite professional. Sometimes the VFL's, frankly, hard to watch. But, no, it was good. But, we get out to a big lead. Things were looking good. I mean, we're a pretty heavy favourite in it. We had more AFL-listed players and, we've been playing good football as a team.
And Collingwood's listed players included people like James Aish.
Yeah. but
worth a top 20 draft pick, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, on good money. Like, Yeah, though, when you sort of agonising about, is it worth paying Dusty $1.2 million? When you think that, well, they've got Levi Greenwood and James Ashe and Chris Mayne for about that much money. It seems quite reasonable.
Yeah, if you do it that way, it always seems reasonable. But anyway, go on.
And yeah, the maths are a little dodgy, but again, you're overpaying for free agents. And not always a good thing. So they came steadily back, particularly their key forwards gave us a bit of trouble because we don't have enormous key backs in the VFL, particularly Mason Cox, who we'll talk about a bit more later. Game got very tight into the third quarter, into the last big goal from Sammy Lloyd, then finally the sealer from Jake Batchelor of all people. But yeah, it was. I really had the thought that if we'd given up a big lead in this game, then it could have affected preparation for Geelong.
I'm glad you felt that. I'm glad because I know you normally hate those kind of unscientific arguments, but that's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking like it's just going to feed the myth, and so I was. That's why I didn't want to lose the game because I thought it might. And all the players were there. Even Dusty came to a Richmond VFL game, which I suspect was it for the first time. I was worried that it would spread this. Like very unscientific analysis, but it would spread this myth and this
negative,
nagging doubt and negative in the back thoughts, of their heads. But you know that they did the right thing and they recovered. And you know, honestly, yes, they did get out to a big lead, but they actually weren't dominating the game that much. You know, they weren't winning the inside 50s in the first part of the game. They were just converting. Their conversion was much better. Oh, sorry, their shots for goal actually converted badly.
Yeah,
but there's a couple of things, Nick. Yeah, there's definitely if I had a choice, straight up choice for Mason Cork versus Hammer. Yeah, I know we can't afford it, but I'd sort of throw a late second rounder back, bundle it up with Hammer to get Mason Cox because he's all right.
He's all right. He's in the VFL for a reason. Like he's actually seriously high on my list of players who are achievably able to be got. Like, There is a suggestion that Collingwood want him as their second ruck next year, which is the same job we'd be offering. But he is competent up forward, which you know, and more so than frankly any of our ruckmen. So, I'd certainly give it a crack.
And early in the game, when they're both fresh and they're both jumping cleanly at the ball, because they're both quite sort of clean ruckmen, Cox was winning. So you sort of and Hammer did his usual thing. I gasped out loud in horror at one of Hammer's kicks, which is never a good thing. No. You know he does good things. Don't get me wrong, and he took a few nice marks. But you know when you talked last week in the podcast about banging the fist about in favor of a player, there is no way anyone's banging the fist in favor of Sean Hampson this weekend.
No,
sorry, it's Thursday.
No, I don't think so. Look, I don't think anyone's banging the table for Callum Moore either. But I do, yeah. And we've talked about him before, but particularly that first quarter, or even the mark and goal in the second quarter. Like he is a good. You know, I've heard people ask, "Oh, is he really a key forward?" I just don't think it matters. Like Jack's the full forward, and we're just looking for. Five other guys that are effective around him, and he's 6'4" and quick as anything, and his kicking motion isn't nearly as horrible as it used to be when he was a junior.
Exactly.
He's worth watching.
He's worth watching. I think he's worth watching preseason 2018. Mm. No way I'd bring him in.
No, which brings me. You can't bring him in.
If you bring someone in,
yeah.
Griffo's in. I know that this this is. Turning to the dark side of the force, and you know this path leads to anger and hate. But Griffo's intensity was decent. I liked him.
He did look good moving, leading out from centre half forward, which is a thing.
I don't think I'd do it, but if I was in the Richmond committee room and sort of some wise old head like Neil Baum, you know, the selection committee, and Neil Baum started thumping his fists for Griffo, you know what, Nick? I'd be listening.
Yeah, definitely. Look, it's current forecast is for a pretty wet and windy day, which would count against him, but yeah, he looked good in moments.
He can rock too. And Nick, yeah. we'll come back. I was rewatching the West Coast game. And I'll come back to a few other observations from that. But, I was watching, Todd Elton rock. And yeah, it was exactly. And it's terrible, but the difference between Griffith and Todd Elton as a second rock is just, it's night and day. There is a case there. And if you don't mind, Nick, I'd like to transition to the one guy who would, like, to me, Miles had good stats. And, you know, so did Lloyd.
Did Sammy Lloyd, yeah.
Yeah, and they both looked very competent, but they both looked, frankly, like, you know, 1.5 players, like players who are just too good for the VFL and not quite enough for AFL. You know, they didn't change any of our perceptions about him. Shai Bolton. He's interesting.
He's very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, he does good AFL level things, between sort of going missing in marking contests.
Going missing for sustained periods of time.
Yeah, and he can play. He can play, and it's such a risk, but it might be worth it.
How many teenagers do we play?
I know, and I want to come back to the small forward, so we'll come back to that in the brief selection preview in a sec. But yeah, he was decent, Nick.
No, look, yeah, not as good as he has been the last couple of weeks. I mean, he's been really good, but both his goals were really good, but he helped create some others as well. But he's just got that X factor, like, yeah.
So a couple other things from the game. Tyson looks like the goods for 2018.
Yep.
He's looking very, very, lot of AFL level characteristics once he settles down.
Man, gets a big preseason under him.
And you know I love Ivy Nick, and a beautiful moment where he smashed James Aish and then helped him out and checked that he was okay. I don't think he would have done that in the seniors. But Todd Elton not getting picked for this game, I think it's all over for Todd.
That's a shame. I can see why we didn't have room in the team for Hampson, Marich, and Soldo.
Yeah, it was very ruthless, but then we didn't pick Soldo for Marek, and I wonder why we did that.
I don't know. Ivy's got better VFL form.
Yeah, Ivy's probably a 5% better player now, but, like, it's interesting, like, playing at AFL where it matters more, we play Soldo, then in VFL we send, and you're probably right, he is probably the better VFL player, but in the AFL level we've made a different choice.
Yeah.
So my only thought of why it's rational is perhaps Soldo's carrying an injury.
Yeah.
It did seem very strange to me.
I know. Look,
anything else about the VFL?
Oh, look, so we've got Casey next week. They're the Melbourne affiliate. So, again, out of the finals, so I haven't checked. So, but you know, they're a pretty good team as well. That'll be another tough game. But it's so good to have seniors and reserves in the same finals.
It is indeed, and quite useful. So, Nick, we put out something on Twitter about your favourite games of the year to rewatch. It's for a lot of good nominations. Great debate, actually.
Yeah.
But sort of the consensus two choices, and one of them I had already, but were West Coast Eagles and Port. Not consensus, but the most common ones. Thank you.
Beating GWS was no mug of a game either.
It was, but I've watched it several times already. Mm. I think I watched it again after we did the show, so that made it a third time to watch it. And it was a wet day, so it wasn't yeah. a beautiful game. The West Coast game was a really interesting game because it went from the wet to the dry. And, you know, it was funny because it was only round three and our ball movement was still crap. Like, it was remarkable the contrast from going from the St. Kilda game to that game. Like, we're playing so much better for football in round 23 than we were in round three.
Yeah.
But the things that kept us in the game were, well, basically, we're fast break offense. Until the rain came, it was George Castagna, it was Dan Butler, and their ability to break lines and create attacking. Obviously, our defense.
I remember we did make, thinking, we make them look a bit slow.
Yep. And our defense was great, like it has been all year, but that was the reason why we could score goals. And it was sort of, I also watched a bit more of the St. Kilda game as well. I like George. Like, he can test in the air. He breaks. He creates physical pressure. He's a really good athlete. And, you know, some people you think they can test well in the air, but actually don't. Like, because George is slight, he creates, gets around cracks and gets his hand, just knocks it to the, hand of the ball, just knocks it to the ground. Oh, I've got a soft spot for him. I can see why the coaches find it so hard to drop him. Because on tape, but there's a couple of other things about the West Coast game. Firstly, on the downside, I've already mentioned Elton. My God, Prestia was terrible. Like, we were very nice to him earlier in the season. Like, he's great. He's improved out of sight, but, he couldn't kick, dropped out of the game. But on the upside, we've forgotten how good Rioli was.
Mm.
Rioli was brilliant. Like, he kicked almost kicked the goal of the year, might recall.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that one. Well, and Dan Butler's goal is... That was pretty awesomely fun, too.
But Rioli was energetic. He was everywhere. Like, he was completely in the West Coast Eagles' head because he was running them down. And I'm just hoping that whatever... He seems to have had an injury in the second half of the year. I'm just hoping the week off will really do him some good, because that the round three version of Dan Rioli was really, really good. Much better than we've seen the last few rounds. Well, his last few rounds have been great, you know, don't get me wrong, but he was, you know, if he played that level, that West Coast level, every round he'd be an All-Australian.
It's a good problem to have this many guys pushing for a spot in the team. Like, the contrast with the North Melbourne game where we're parachuting in Conker and Griffiths from lengthy injury absences. Like, you know, I feel much better about it. We're also playing a better team. Like, this is top four. It's no joke.
This is and Geelong are a very admirable, and we will preview it later in the week, but Geelong are a very admirable team, and, you know, they've beaten two other top four teams without their second best player over the last 3 weeks. You know, that's impressive.
Yeah, they fixed up GWS in that last round when GWS had it all to play for. That difference between a home final versus travelling to Adelaide, that's a thing.
It is. They are impressive. Anyway, we're going to preview the game later in the week. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
It's just a good time to be a Richmond supporter.
You know, Nick, I've been thinking about the what to wear after the game on Thursday, because obviously
Friday.
Friday. Thursday's the other final. I'm flying in to Melbourne on Thursday. But you know, the weather's going to probably be bad, as you pointed out. I've going to a club function beforehand, which is, you know, semi-formal, and I'm going to the pub before that, so obviously, you know, what will look decent. And I've also, Nick, got my most important issue is the Richmond jersey that I wore to the North Melbourne and Carlton EF is cursed? Because it's not cursed in regular season games. It's been, you know, sort of quite a mixed record, but I wore it to the Sydney last round of the season game where we beat them. But, you know, it's an interesting question. Like, you know, am I tempting fate by wearing it again in a final? Because its finals record is 2-0. So I'm 0-2.
I haven't reworn.
But you gave me this jersey, Nick. I'm not sure if you remember.
I haven't reworn the underpants from I was wearing from the board game.
Yeah. All right. Well, so these are the kind of things I'm thinking about. Like, it's 6 days out, and it's
fair to say. Yeah, these are the big issues. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.